WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. The CDC extends the eviction moratorium into the summer, and Virginians struggling with rent may be able to get financial aid. Municipal elections will be held in May for the last time in the Commonwealth. And why are Virginia politicians reluctant to limit campaign donations? I know that sounds like a trick question. And what are the prospects for reform next year? We've got the second in our two-part series. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, March 30th. The Centers for Disease Control announced an extension of the federal eviction moratorium to June 30th. The moratorium prevents the evictions of some tenants who can't pay rent during the pandemic. It was scheduled to expire Wednesday. Renters having trouble paying their rent still have to apply and qualify. Last month, Governor Ralph Northam announced he would direct $160 million in federal assistance to Virginia's rent relief program, which provides financial help to eligible families whose rent is past due. Virginia law now requires landlords to cooperate with tenants to access rental relief before eviction proceedings can go forward. According to AARP, nearly two of every 100 Virginia nursing home residents died from COVID-19 between mid-January and mid-February. While that number has decreased, Virginia had the second highest rate of nursing home deaths over that period. AARP says Virginia nursing homes continue to struggle. One in six reported staffing shortages, and one in 10 said they needed more personal protective equipment. The COVID Tracking Project reports that more than 3,700 Virginians living in long-term care facilities have died from COVID-19. A new report finds that colleges and universities in Virginia have mostly done okay during the pandemic, but a closer look at the data shows some schools have not done as well at retaining students. We had a report on this yesterday. Here's some more details from Alan Rodriguez Espinoza with VPM in Richmond.
The report found that the number of new college students in Virginia declined by 8%, but overall, enrollment remained flat during the past year. Tom Allison conducted the report for the State Council of Higher Education.
Big picture, statewide, things could have been much, much worse.
But for Virginia's community colleges, it's a different story. Two-year public colleges lost over 7,000 students, bringing down enrollment to its lowest point since 2002. Teresita Sass of Reynolds Community College says the pandemic forced many to leave school to focus on other priorities.
Many of our students were frontline workers. They were students who have children.
Reynolds saw a 9% drop. A disproportionate number of the students, Sass explained, were non-white and from low-income backgrounds.
Ellen Rodriguez Espinoza reporting. Municipal elections will be held in May for the last time in the Commonwealth. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
This May will see the last flowers of an old tradition in Virginia, the springtime election. Voters will go to the polls for the last time in May in Vienna, Berryville, Newmarket, and Abington. Governor Ralph Northam signed a bill to move those municipal elections and all 111 other May elections that would have happened in future years to November. Senator Lionel Spruill is a Democrat from Chesapeake who introduced the bill.
Standalone municipal elections usually draw only for a small group of voters who often tend to be white, wealthier, and older.
Senator Chad Peterson is a Democrat from Fairfax City who voted against the bill. He pointed to the original charter application from Fairfax City, which specifically requested spring elections so federal employees could run for office.
The whole point about having spring municipal elections was to make sure that everybody could participate and potentially be a candidate. It wasn't just limited to the partisan ballot.
The vote in the General Assembly was largely along party lines because Democrats tend to do better in November elections when more people are voting. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, during the last campaign cycle, corporations, political action committees, nonprofits, and individuals donated more than $124 million to candidates for the Virginia House of Delegates and State Senate. Critics contend that warped the way that lawmakers voted in this year's General Assembly. But campaign finance reformers in Richmond have not been able to change the system. In part two of her series, Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman explores why politicians are reluctant to limit donations and whether that might change next year.
David Toscano spent 14 years in the Virginia House of Delegates and has written two books on state politics. The Democrat from Charlottesville says there's too much money in campaigns for the General Assembly.
People have to contemplate spending upwards of over $500,000 to $1 million to run for a delegate seat. It is a part-time job that doesn't pay very much money. And it sort of limits the universe of people who potentially could run.
One reason he says Virginia elections attract so much money is because of their timing.
They are all held on the off years. In other words, they're not occurring at the same time as the presidential races, which tend to suck up a lot of campaign contributions. And there are increasing amounts of money being spent.
But lawmakers have rejected efforts to impose some restrictions on who donates and how much.
I tried to impose even a $10,000 limit a couple of years ago, and it went absolutely nowhere.
It's frustrating for Brian Johns, the executive director of Virginia Organizing. That progressive group lobbied hard for utility rate reform in the last session, but members of the Senate Commerce and Labor Committee blocked proposed changes. In 2020, those same legislators accepted more than $280,000 in campaign contributions from the state's largest power company.
One of the key hurdles is the amount of contributions that folks are getting from Dominion Resources.
And this wasn't the first time he's been up against big bucks in the legislature.
I remember early days in payday lending fights, walking in and feeling outnumbered 5 or 6 to 1 in terms of paid lobbyists. And we've got directly affected members who have a payday loan out who are going in to try to tell their story, knowing full well that lobbyists are going to follow us and talk about why we shouldn't cap interest rates.
But lawmakers did eventually impose regulation on payday lenders, as public awareness and support grew.
We often say we'll never have the same amount of money as our opposition, so we got to try to organize as many people as possible.
And Toscano points out that corporations aren't the only ones making large campaign contributions in Virginia.
You do have interest groups that are actively engaged. You know, the League of Conservation Voters is a great example. Planned Parenthood is another one. Groups like the Hospital Association, the Doctors Association. You've got individual donors like Michael Bills and Sonia Smith, who on the Democratic side gave over $1 million to candidates' races in 2019.
Still, Common Cause, a nonprofit focused on keeping government clean, says the current system is ripe for reform. An attorney for the group, Stephen Spaulding, thinks the public is also ready.
I think most Americans recognize that a system dominated by wealthy campaign spenders really tilts the playing field in their favor.
Even politicians may be unhappy with the current system of campaign finance.
They themselves really don't like to have to go dialing for dollars, asking for big checks because of the pay-to-play culture that it appears to further.
So why did Virginia's legislature again reject campaign finance reform in 2021? Former Delegate Toscano says the session was short and the issue was complicated.
What you really need is a commission to look at this.
In fact, the General Assembly did pass a resolution to research and report on what campaign finance reform might look like, a report that will be ready in time for the 2022 session when Toscano thinks lawmakers might finally be ready for a change. I'm Sandy Houseman.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Tuesday.